Good to see you guys. Just wonder, Dr. Jackie's in the house, okay, so yay. And her husband, James, okay, sorry. Just a little bit excited about seeing Jackie, so. So we're in August, and for whatever reason, August becomes like that, the 4 weeks in which we speak not in a series, and we kind of pick these sermons based on what we're sensing at that moment, Sam and I. And I'll be speaking today on what it means for us to be faithful in the middle moments of life, what I will call the middle moments of life, when the initial excitement has worn off, but the satisfying ending seems also far away. For those of you who were here last week, you might recognize right now, actually, that there is somewhat of a thematic overlap between what Pastor Sam talked about and what I'll be preaching on today. It's interesting for me when this happens, as I think it is more than just coincidence, more than just kind of like when we wear a similar shirt on the same Sunday, but really that we are both sensing similar things from the Holy Spirit. It's an affirmation in my understanding. Now, you will see me take, obviously, different paths. And the right way of thinking about these two messages between last week and this week is, I think, like two layers. Two layers that are laid upon each other that strengthen the whole message that we need to hear. So as we approach today's word, being conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit, let's spend a little more time praying once again. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for calling us today to your worship. As your word is preached, may you be present in a special way, and may we be aware, may we become aware of your presence. May you open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you would have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Philippians 1:6, which is the focus of the message, says, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God always finishes what he starts. God always finishes what he starts. We, on the other hand, do not always finish what we start. How many of us have started a book with great excitement, only to fizzle somewhere in the middle or after the first chapter? How many of you can confess to that? Anybody ever skip the middle section, the middle pages, and you just kind of say, you know, I'm just going to go right to the end? Anybody ever do that? If you haven't done that with a book, you probably have done that with a remote control, right? Or with the mouse cursor on the computer nowadays. The middle is the slow part. The middle is the boring part. It's the character development part, where nothing exciting seems to happen. The middle feels like a grind, and it often is, and most of us don't have the patience for that. We like the beginning and the end, but the middle, we can fast forward. We can do without. In real life, though, we can't get to the end without going through the middle. The fast forwarding, the skipping the middle, is not an option for us. And one of the worst things we can do, as Pastor Sam talked about in last week's sermon, is to think back to the beginning and wish our middle was just like the beginning. I've done a lot of premarital counseling. And one of the things that I always talk about, one of the things that I always remind, and I suppose all pastors do this as well, is that your wedding is not the same thing as your marriage. And also, that the excitement that you have toward getting married at the very beginning where you feel like, oh, it's so cool that they're so different. They do this in this, they do things in such a quirky way. All that stuff eventually wears off. Whereby the people go, oh, it's so annoying that they do this thing that way that's so different, and they haven't changed. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but there's a way in which you can move forward from the beginning, the excitement, to the middle, and finally get to a place in which your marriage is flourishing in a different way than you could have possibly have imagined on the first day of your marriage. Esther and I, last week, celebrated our 17th anniversary. It's not as much as, you know, it feels like it's not so much compared to the 20 that, you know, Sam and Esther went through a few weeks before. But 17 years, and we were so excited to get married, and I think I'm not hiding anything. In fact, I might get an amen if I said sometimes it's been a grind. So it's hard. The middle part is hard. And 17 years is also long enough, though, that we feel like we're also coming out a little bit on the other side, where we feel a little bit, just a little bit, my wife might sense a little bit of maturity settling in terms of how I am as the husband. And I sense just a little bit, just a little bit of how she is as a wife after 17 years. And certainly we're not at the end, you know. We got many, many more years to go. And so we're still in the middle. But it can be a grind. And if we don't know that the middle is a grind in life, then we're in for a surprise in so many different areas of our life. God puts us on a journey so that we can grow, not just to get to the end, but that middle is there for a reason and for a purpose. But it can be a tough and it can be a trying time. And for whatever reason, for some of us, for many of us, we think spiritual life isn't supposed to be like that. It's always supposed to be about the beginning, the excitement, and the end, the excitement. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh, when I first became a Christian, oh, when I first started coming to church, I was so excited. I was so excited. And that sometimes dwelling on the beginning can be detrimental to how you live through the middle. I was chatting with Max's swim teacher, and he is no longer doing the little doggy paddle. He's actually doing a little stroke and taking side breaths. And a couple of weeks ago, she and three women kayaked across the waters between Catalina Island. They kayaked across to Newport. 26 miles in open water. 9+ hours of rowing. Thousands of row strokes, right? They saw whales, she said. They had dolphins come around and swim around them. They got seasick, because even on a kayak, after that many hours, they said her roommates were just getting so seasick after that many hours. They even saw sharks. And I asked her, what was the hardest part? And immediately she said, when we couldn't see land in either direction. She said, I could feel everyone's morale just go, oof, just drop down to the ground. And we're all thinking, and I know we're all thinking this, she said, why are we doing this? That's the middle, right? That's the middle where the thought comes to you and go, why are we doing this? But there is no option for us to skip the middle. There was no magical school of dolphins that came alongside them, and they lassoed onto their fins, and they cruised their way to Newport Beach. There was no skipping the middle in real life. Nor would it have helped if they looked back, wondering what happened to their initial sense of excitement, what happened to their surge of adrenaline, where did it all go? We need to understand that unless we understand, we can come to grips with how to deal with the middle and the importance of the middle, we will miss, in one sense, the point of the journey. Why this life? Have you ever asked that question? Why do we live out the rest of life here once we become a Christian? Why does God make us do that? If everything is under His control and command anyway, if everything is under His sovereignty to begin with, why do we need to strive for anything else? Because His point is not just to get us to the end of the journey. His purpose is for us to learn something and grow something through our time in the journey. It's when we start thinking about the end, or thinking about like how the middle and the grinding parts of life is so atrocious, or the journey itself becomes a dread. When we start thinking like that, and we start thinking it would be so much better if I could have just the excitement moments of this beginning and then the end, it's kind of like, you know, how do I explain to someone, you know, the right way of raising a child isn't, you know, once you have them, send them away for 21 years to somebody else to raise them professionally and then get them back and say, oh, look at my child at 21. We have finished. We didn't even have to deal with the hard parts. How do I explain to somebody that makes absolutely no sense? You have missed the point. Listen to me. There is not one of us, not a single one of us, who are exempt from living in the middle. We are all right there in it. Not one of us gets to just live in the excitement of the beginning, knowing the triumphs of the end. Apostle Paul planted a church in Philippi during what is called the second missionary journey. We see details of this in Acts 16. And the Philippian church remains one of Paul's most beloved, least troubled of churches. But it has been nearly a decade since Paul's last visit, and Paul worries about them. Paul knows the initial excitement has worn off, and there is some stress. There is strife that has begun to take hold in their community. They are in the middle. So he reminds them to be faithful with these words that we just read. I am confident of this, that he who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And there are two simple things that I want to point out. First, Paul says, God finishes what he begins. This is his confidence. Not in Paul's leadership, not in his own leadership, not in his faithfulness, not in the faithfulness of the church, although those things matter. But the confidence and the trust that he has is the confidence that he has in God to finish the good work that he began. God always finishes what he begins. God finishes what he begins. He doesn't give up on his creation, right? Because sometimes the philosophical question might be asked, is that, well, if God saw that creation rebelled against him and it was so full of sin and so full of rebellion and so rotten, why didn't he just scrap it and begin anew? Because it goes against his character. He's a faithful God who begins and he finishes. And it's like that when he with his approach toward people. I've never seen God approach people like, well, you know, why don't I just, you know, just say forget it with this guy? Why don't I just say forget it with that person? Why does God continue to try to transform a person's life no matter how much they may resist? Why is God so persistent with his people? God always finishes what he begins. And that ought to make a difference in how you feel, how you think, how you behave, and make decisions while you're in the middle. That's what Paul is saying. God always finishes what he begins, and that ought to make a practical, everyday difference in your life. Second thing Paul says here, Paul says we need to adjust our timeline. We need to adjust how we think about our timeline. Paul doesn't write, he doesn't write this. He doesn't say, I am confident that Christ who began the work in your life will carry it out unto completion soon. Although that would have been, I think, in one sense, to me, what I would have wanted. What I would have found, in at least in an immediate sense, more encouraging. Just hold on a little bit longer. Paul doesn't say that. He doesn't even write, Christ will complete the work that he began before you die. He doesn't even write that. It says his timeline is, Christ will finish what he began. He will carry it out unto completion by the day of Christ Jesus. What this means is simply this. Is that we need to understand that the key to seeing our lives rightly is to see our timelines of our beginning, middle, and end in terms of God's timeline as part of the larger timeline of God, not the other way around, one that belongs to the story of Christ. When you became a Christian, Christ didn't become a chapter in your life, as many of us think. He didn't become a chapter in your story. But rather, you became part of Christ's story. That's what this is talking about. He will finish it in his timeline as part of his story. That's the point. Now, these two things, that God always finishes what he begins, and that we need to trust his timeline, are critical if we're ever going to understand what it means to live our lives faithfully, both in our actions and in our attitudes. I believe all of us need to experience, both in general terms and how we understand our lives, as well as how we understand different parts of our lives. And I want to narrow our focus. And you can think about how this is powerful and how it's impactful in so many different ways, and how you think about relationships, how you think about different commitments that you may have. But I want to focus it right now from our life in general to our understanding of our calling, of what God calls us to do, because I think sometimes we struggle with that. I believe that all of us experience a time in our lives in which we feel that we hear God's calling to do something. I believe all of us hear this, that this is not a special calling only for the limited or the chosen few, but all of us hear a calling from God. Sometimes it's a big sort of a calling that forces us to reprioritize every single aspect of our lives, to relocate, that displaces all of our priorities. But it might just as well be smaller commitments as well, to love someone that is hard to love, to serve in some capacity wholeheartedly that might require sacrifice in your life, to give of yourself and your talents and your resources for the sake of God's kingdom in one small way that you're seeing, rather than for self-fulfillment, whatever it might be. Big or small, I believe we are all called like this. If you think right now, no, that's not possible, this is not me, well, I'm not trying to guilt trip you, but this is just a fact of Christian life. We are all called. And unless you are really young, what happens is that you start out excited in your calling, but over time, you find yourself in the middle. And you begin to ask the same questions that we all begin to ask when we're in the middle of things. Why am I doing this? Why? What is the point of this? Am I even doing any good? And what we aren't able to see sometimes is the character development and the advancement of the story of God that's bigger than our own personal stories. And during this time, we have to hold on to the truth that he who began the good work in you, in us, he will be faithful. He will be faithful to carry it onto completion in his time. What does this look like? A friend of mine just came back to the States. I mentioned this several weeks ago, from spending 3 years in missionary service in Cambodia. I mentioned this friend, as I said before, he's just a regular, ordinary person. He's not like a seminary trained, a special calling, crazy. I got no kids. He's got regular kids, regular family with regular career. But he obeyed God's calling to serve 3 years in Cambodia. And 3 years is a good amount of time, but it is also a very short amount of time to feel like you had lasting impact in one sense. And he said he's been struggling with this. And how to explain what he did when people ask him about what he did. And he thought about it, and he settled on a baseball metaphor, which I'm going to borrow to make an extended, imperfect illustration right now. And he says, in baseball, you have starting pitchers and you have closing pitchers. Starters start the game, and closers close the game. Closers come in at the end of the game to get the final outs of the game, usually in a dramatic fashion. And these athletes are often the best known and the best paid players of the team, and they are the face of the franchise often, right? You guys know that much. But you also have pitchers that are known as middle relievers. And generally, they are some of the least known players. And they are some of the most forgotten players. And middle relievers come in for a variety of reasons. The starter might get tired. The starter is having an off day. Or they come in even just for strategic purposes. Managers will bring in a lefty pitcher to get a lefty batter, right? There are in just about every single baseball team, these specialists who are in fact lefty pitchers, whose job is to get that one out of the left-handed batter. You guys know what they're called? Anybody know? It's a special term. If you guys know it, it's a bonus trivia point I'll give you. They're called loogies. Left-handed, one-out guys. Loogies. Not very glamorous. I don't imagine many little leaguers pretending they are middle relievers, aspiring to be a loogie. It's meant to be a little bit pejorative. I don't imagine too many little league pitchers pretending that they're pitching in a World Series game as a middle reliever. Middle relievers are the quintessential role players who meet the needs of a team. Now, while they are not well known, no team could ever succeed without their contributions. What is the connection then from this to missions and service? My friend says his 3 years in Cambodia was akin to that of a middle relief pitcher in baseball. He says, we are not the starters. We are not the closers. We were somewhere in the middle. We were middle relievers. For such a time as this, we were called up from the bullpen and into the mound. to play whatever role and contribute what we could for the team. He continues, I am not sure if our 3 years will be akin to three innings or three pitches, but knowing this is not the point. What is more important is whether we responded to the call of being the role player and whether we served faithfully in that role. That knowledge is reserved only for our great heavenly manager who knows when to put people in and where they can be used. Most of us, I think, we need to have a better understanding of Christian life and service. And we need to approach it a little bit more like this. We think beginning is cool. Beginning of things are cool. And we definitely like being there at the closures, at the moments in which things look like things end. We love to hear the stories of dramatic conversions, dramatic transformations, dramatic growth. I know I do. Why? Partly because I believe about myself, all humility aside, I believe I am that good. I believe I am that special. I believe I am that talented. I have too much to offer. We are all special in our own eyes. And so sometimes when we find ourselves in the middle stages of life, called to a middle stage of ministry, called to a middle stage of service, I think we can sometimes think, this is not for me. This is not what I was called for. We have these God-centered aspirations and hopes to do more for the kingdom. And at times, we would like a little bit more of an acknowledgement to be placed in a place of more prominence and importance and recognition and appreciation. So maybe part of our struggle with living in the middle and dealing with the middle is that we don't want to be middle relievers. But in reality, we are all middle relievers in kingdom work. We neither started nor will we finish the work of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in our neighborhoods, in our worlds. I think we need to remember that when we struggle with the middle. Three things to help us keep going. When we find ourselves in the middle, quickly, first, remember your role. Know your role. Know what you're supposed to be doing so that you know what you're called to, that you are called to be part of a larger team. Your contribution can be small, yet a significant part of the bigger picture. And be faithful in that. And if you do not know your role right now, if you do not know your role right now, I ask that you pray. And don't ask, God, what do you need for me to do in my life? What do you need for me to accomplish in my life? But rather ask him, show me the role that you want me to play in your kingdom. Because it's not so much about me having a cool story in my life, but rather being part of your cool story, God. Know your role. Second, be content. My friend says, be content. He says, serving in whatever aspect of kingdom ministry is a glorious calling. We need to remember that it was never about you. It was never about me. We need to remember that it was never about our stories. Even if you're not a starter or a closer or someone famous, God has called you to be faithful in the role that you're in. Learn the joy of being in that role. I once heard a pastor talk about naming his daughter Lydia. And he had a very biblical basis for it. In the Bible, the name Lydia is that of a businesswoman in Philippi who became one of the first Christians in that city. And the Philippian church began by meeting at her house. That's it. There's nothing else really more about her. She sold purple cloth. That was her business. And this pastor said, I don't need for my daughter to do great things. And when I first heard that, I was like, well, that sounds like you got low expectations for your child. She's not going to do great things if you don't expect her to do great things. But he continues to say this. He said, I do want her to know that whatever she does, though, that she knows that she has a role in God's kingdom work. I thought, okay, that's good. Know the joy of playing a role. Find contentment in that. And lastly, be thankful. Consider it a true privilege that you have a role in something so glorious as God's ministry. However small it is, sometimes we take those small things that we see so much as a blessing and we take it for granted. We do this with most things in life, right? We go from, especially in our culture, we go from a place of feeling thankful to a month or a year later feeling like a sense of entitlement to it, right? Family, job, friendships, church, God. Sense of entitlement over it, but rather find gratefulness that God has called you to play a role in his kingdom ministry. Not a single one of us are exempt from living in the middle. Not a single one of us gets to just live out our lives dwelling in the excitement and the adrenaline of the beginning or in the victorious, triumphant ending. We get to live this life in the middle. And we need, I think, better ways of thinking about what this middle really is. Is it a time to be dreaded for you? Or is it a time in which you are finding growth in your lives? Because you are called to that middle for that exact reason.